bicycle dance party. We rocking Pedalpalooza, dropping the Prince jams all night long, frequent dance stops. Once again, that's Prince's birthday celebration on Wednesday, June 7th, 8 p.m. More information on the KBOO website under community events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
You are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. I'm Amy Johnson. Tonight I'm speaking with Christopher Zoukas, who is currently incarcerated at a federal prison in Virginia. He has been incarcerated for over a decade. While he's been in prison, Chris has become a minister, a personal trainer, an author of 4 books, a jailhouse lawyer, and a college graduate. He contributes regularly to multiple websites and news outlets. I was able to speak with Chris on April 8th by phone. Our interview focuses on the book he published this January, The Federal Prison Handbook. This book is a resource for people who are facing federal prison terms and their families. Could you start by telling me about your new book, The Federal Prison Handbook? What is it about?
So, when I came to the Bureau of Prisons, when I was first charged with a crime, I had no real experience with criminal justice issues in any way, shape, or form. So, I went looking for maybe a book or information out there that could kind of help me understand the process. And there wasn't anything. I mean, there were a few little things here and there, but nothing that was very visible or very informative. So, my goal was to create a book that would be able to answer the questions for people for the first time entering the system. So they'd have something to trust. They'd know what to expect. You know, simple questions like, you know, health and safety questions. What do I do, for example, if I have a health problem, what do I do? How do I get help? Or even more immediate concerns of, how do I greet my cellmate for the first time? I think the worry for a lot of people is, you know, this is such a foreign culture, particularly like white-collar offenders or other people who just have never been in trouble before. There's no good place to find that information. So that was the purpose of the Federal Prison Handbook. You know, I want to be someone's guide. I want something that people could trust, that they could, you know, base their safety decisions off of. And I think that it's come together pretty well.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it must be really, I don't know, disorienting to end up in prison for anyone.
And it could be a really, I mean, even for, you know, I came to prison at 20. I didn't have much experience with criminal justice. I mean, very little. But even for someone who's, you know, in good physical shape and, you know, let's call it fighting ability, I think that even for people like me, that was a pretty scary process. And if I had been a bit older, or, you know, didn't quite look the part as much, you know, no tattoos, for example, is a good indicator that someone is from a different culture than this, I think it could have been much worse. So,
What kind of things do you feel like you might have faced if you hadn't fit in the culture?
I think you see it a lot, and I think it depends on where you're at. Unfortunately, in the Bureau of Prisons, you have some prisons that are relatively easy, so you don't have a ton of problems, and then you have some prisons that are just abject hell. At higher level security prisons, so USPs, United States Penitentiaries, and also
this call is from a federal prison.
Sorry, and also at rougher medium securities, I mean, violence is very, very prevalent. People who come into this not knowing what to expect often do get hurt, and sometimes badly. So if you're at a bad spot and you don't know what to expect, you're probably going to have some problems. particularly if you happen to be an unsavory sort. And by that I mean, you know, people who are incarcerated for example, like sexual offenses, people who might have testified against other people, they have serious problems. Luckily, those are at kind of the higher security level prisons. At the easier mediums and then lows in camps, I mean, ostracization is more common. But regardless, the goal of the book is to give people a good informational kind of foundation so they'll know what to expect. And we even deal specifically with these issues so that people will understand, for example, when you first come off the bus and, you know, the shock caller for your racial group says, "I want to see your paperwork." We talk about that. We explain what the paperwork is so that people can make the best informed decisions. You know, if you're going to bluff somebody, you should know what they're going to do to kind of follow up on that. On the other hand, if you have nothing to worry about, we also explain that so that you can make a safe decision.
Wow, that's way more complex and, and important than I even possibly imagined, like, what could be in the Federal Prison Handbook. Man, there's,
you know,
so much to think about.
People have a lot of time in prison, and fortunately, you know, systems, informal systems amongst the prisoners are put in place, and I mean, those maintain control to some degree and order to some degree, but for people who might have things they're not trying to have broadcast, it can be problematic.
Yeah. Could we talk a little bit about the book again, a little bit more about the book?
Let's call it From a Federal Prison.
Specifically, what are the sections that are in it? You've mentioned that a little bit briefly, but...
So, I try to divide the book into different parts. And I try to make more of a holistic approach. So I start off with an overview, and the overview kind of discusses the history of the Bureau of Prisons, the different security levels, you know, the staff and inmate breakdowns, so people can understand, you know, the population characteristics, you know, male, female, what kinds of crimes, what kinds of ages, what kinds of years of imprisonment. I also talk about in that section the staff and other personnel, so that if you don't have experience in prison, you can understand who the staff members are, at what points in time you should be interacting with them, and what they can do for you. Part two is the arrival and orientation. Here is like our basic kind of jumpstart to prison life. You know, we focus on your first, you know, 24 hours in the prison compound, you know, how you're actually meeting people. We talk about your daily necessities, so, you know, housing units in terms of like cells or dorms, how you transfer your living at quarters, common areas, so televisions, microwaves, TV rooms, and the etiquette for each of those. You know, how do you get a shower? What's the protocol? How do you get a shower safely? We try to cover all of these types of things. We also provide kind of a general overview of admission and orientation types of things. So we talk about like counts. We talk about the different kinds of controlled movements, searches, you know, alcohol and drug detection. It's kind of basic stuff that every prisoner needs to know, and you'll eventually find out on your own. But by reading it, you'll have a tremendous head start. From there, we jump into prison life. So, you know, work, how the inmate economy works, you know, because there's always an underground economy, so you need to understand how that operates and how to do so kind of safely and intelligently. Talking about medical and psychological care, various types of programs. So like, for example, the Bureau of Prisons has the residential drug abuse program, where if you complete it, you might qualify to get a year off your sentence. We talk about transgender issues for transgender inmates, different kinds of other treatment programs like sex offender treatment programs. From there, we cover contact with the outside world. So how can you communicate with your family? How does visitation work? Things of that nature. As the book continues, we have other kind of specialty areas. For example, there's a very healthy discussion on the inmate discipline program. The objective there is to help prisoners understand their rights and responsibilities, and if they ever have a problem with a disciplinary issue, how to address those problems. We also have a very healthy section on the special housing unit, so solitary confinement, because it's such a life-altering and potentially dangerous situation. We want people to understand every single element of it, because the prison administrators, they'll tell you nothing when they throw you in the hole. So you need to figure it out on your own. And I try to cover everything that someone could possibly want to know there. You know, everything from your 21-day cell rotation, where the cops come by and tell you, pack your stuff, you're moving, without any advance warning. Here, you can find out that they're going to do it to you every 21 days. All the way to things like safety in prison or in solitary confinement recreation cages, like where violence is very common. Or even how do you transport items from one cell to another through a thing they call fishing, which involves like a line where you pass things under doors. So the idea of the book is that if you read the book and you know nothing about prisons, whether you're facing federal time or you have a loved one who is serving federal time, you can learn everything you need to know. And then, as someone serving time, they can go to the sections that apply to a certain situation, and they can understand the policy, the regulatory, and the actuality kind of underpinnings of everything. So if the your unit officer tells you, or your counselor tells you, you need to move to a different cell, well, you can come pull up that chapter or that section in the book, and you can understand what the policy actually says. Hmm. So,
wow,
massive overview.
Yeah,
with research.
Yeah, that's really. There's so much in that book, and it's going to be really helpful and useful for people. Can you tell me, we'll talk more about the book, but specifically right now, could you tell me how someone could get a hold of a copy of this and on the outside,
sure.
And then on the inside, can people get this book, the Federal Prison Handbook?
Yes. So the Federal Prison Handbook is available for sale on Amazon.com. Prisoners' families can order it directly for themselves or for their incarcerated loved ones. Likewise, we have a distribution agreement with prison. Prisoners or their families can also order it through Prison Legal News, and they handle distribution and fulfillment.
Okay, and those they can get them into the prison then from the Prison Legal News.
Yes, they can do both. So even if someone, for example, didn't have access to like the internet to order a book on Amazon, they could order it directly through the mail through Prison Legal News.
You are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. I'm speaking with Christopher Zukas, the author of The Federal Prison Handbook. We're talking about this recently published book. This book can be obtained by mail via Prison Legal News. Prison Legal News's address is P.O. Box 1151 at 1013 Lucerne Ave, LUCERNE, in Lake Worth, Florida, 33460.
Do you expect that this book will maintain its relevance over time? There might be like changes to rules. And then also, do you think that perhaps is it relevant to people of all races and all genders, even though you are a white man who's writing the book?
Good questions. I envision this as a living book or a living document, so things do change. In fact, just in the last few months, there was actually a recent change to the ways that inmates can send money off of their accounts to people in the community. So what my plan is to put out a new edition probably about every 2 years because of the changes. And I think when we came out with this book...
This call is from a federal prison.
You know, there's always more you can do. And at a certain point, I had to kind of sit down with my team. I said, you know what, this is enough. I mean, we're close to 500 pages of text. So I think the focus now is kind of paying attention to what people have to say. You know, what's the response we get from both prisoners and their family members, and then trying to develop the book further so that it can be more targeted and more of use. So, yes, things do change a lot, and that's why we plan to come out with a new issue probably every 2 years. To who it can be helpful for, it's a pretty good point. One of our blurbers, Lois Afferens, she does a lot of work with female federal prisoners. She brought up the point that, you know, we cover this very well from a male perspective, but our female perspective is wanting. And I try to incorporate some experiences from female, former and current, female federal prisoners from what they had published, but it's hard to do that not being, you know, doing time in a female institution. So the current product is a very good overview for anyone of any race or gender. It's good from a policy perspective, but I think the actual experiences will differ somewhat, even if the policies are the same. So for future editions, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be coordinating with Lois and ideally someone from her team to be able to incorporate in a more significant way, you know, the female experience. I'm not sure how we're going to do it quite yet, but I'm kind of hoping that we can come up maybe a complete chapter, maybe contributed by someone who's done time as a female federal prisoner, who can kind of tell you how it is from their perspective, a perspective that I don't necessarily have.
Yeah. Cool. Can you tell me more about who the team is that's working with you on this? And did you have to do a lot of research for this book? Or did you know, like, some or most or somewhat?
It was a research from prison is horrible. It's the worst. I work with a team called Middle Street Publishing, and this team they operates, let's see, a couple websites. So prisonerresource.com, prisoneducation.com, and christopherzukas.com. Our stated mission, we're a South Carolina not-for-profit public benefit corporation, but our mission is to advance the written works of prisoners, to kind of open the prisons to a more critical eye, because there's not a lot of terrific scholarship coming out of prisons, largely because prisoners are so excluded. You know, they're behind the Iron Curtain, and it's so hard for them to be heard that we try to find ways to make their voices heard. So this is our first book project, though we have more in the works.
How did come about? How did that organization come together?
Well, a couple of years ago, the short version is a couple of years ago, I do a lot of writing from prison. So I write for outlets like Prison Legal News, the Huffington Post, the New York Daily News. I put a lot of effort into writing. And what happened a couple of years ago when I came out with my second book, College for Convicts, I was actually thrown in the shoe. Well, thrown in the hole for 5 months. And what happened was my prison administration was a bit uncomfortable with me publishing books and articles. So they manufactured some incident reports based on unauthorized business activity. And I was put in the shoe, and it was quite an ugly experience. Eventually, actually, 7 incident reports in a row were expunged from my record. They admitted that they were wrong, have a new understanding now. But what came of that was that I needed to find a way to kind of shelter myself a bit, and the right way to shelter myself was to say, okay, I'm the writer. People on the street are the ones that operate everything else. So I could kind of disentangle myself from any kinds of business-like discussions so they couldn't be misinterpreted.
Okay, I see. Wow, so how did you become an author while incarcerated? It's a pretty big accomplishment for anyone, but like you said, it's really difficult to research while you're inside.
Yeah. I have to rely on my team. You know, the team consists of several people. Like, our web development element is actually based in Canada. My primary helper is based in up in your neck of the woods in Washington State. And I'm, of course, in Petersburg, Virginia. But what we do is we have a team-based effort. So if I want to write on something, I reach out to my helper up in Washington, and she will conduct research for me, print it all off, and mail it all in to me. So like that's how I see like the Internet, for example, on printed pages.
Okay.
And research is horrible, but you know I use her a lot for that. For this book in particular, since it's focused on the Federal Bureau of Prisons, I was able to use the law library a lot, so I could see the Code of Federal Regulations. I could read the program statements. I could review federal case law, and a lot of it's research, this kind of personal research based, you know, things I have gone through, how I can help others understand that, and kind of tips that I learned along the way.
And what most surprised you when you became a federal prisoner?
Say it again, what?
Oh, what most surprised you when you became a federal prisoner, and what do you most hope that people will know from this book?
You know, I think the message that people should take from this is that prison is a life-altering experience. You know, it's a club that no one wants to join. But even in prison, I mean, you can make a life for yourself. I came to prison out of high school. I was a senior in high school when I got in trouble. So I've lived, and I fought my case for 2 years, so I've been in prison since I was 20. I just turned 31 last month, and I get out actually next year. But I think people need to understand that you make poor decisions and then you come to prison. But in prison, it doesn't mean that you have to kind of, you don't have to be the stereotypical prisoner. I mean, you don't have to kind of throw your life away at that point. I mean, this can be the time to, as they would say in recovery, the time to stop digging. This is the time to start building. For many prisoners, you know, you can earn a GED if you don't have a high school diploma. If you have some resources, you can go to college in prison. Resources are hard in that respect, but it is certainly possible. In fact, this last past January, I earned my bachelor's degree.
Congratulations.
So it's possible. Actually, now I'm working on my MBA, which is incredibly challenging from prison for research reasons. But, you know, if you can rethink things, question everything. I mean, I often have people say to me, well, you're a prisoner. You can't do that. And I say, well, why not? Well, oftentimes that's based upon their own kind of preconceived conception, you know, or their belief system. And I think that if you kind of open your mind a bit and you think, well, I want to do this, but I have all these problems because I'm in prison, how do I do it? You can pretty often find a way to do it.
I guess interview goes so fast. So I think maybe two last questions. What are your current projects, and what are your plans for when you get released?
Okay, current projects. Right now I'm working as hard as I can on my MBA. I go to a school, Adams State University, out of Colorado. They're the probably the best prison college provider right now.
This call is from a federal prison.
So I'm spending a lot of time studying at ASU. I also do a lot of writing. You know, prison. I flooded with prison legal news assignments. And I'm just starting actually to do some research on a new book on federal supervised release, which is kind of like parole or probation for federal prisoners. You know, when you get out of prison at the federal level, you have to do a term of supervised release. So I'm starting to dig into that. The other question was, I'm sorry.
What your current projects are, what your plans for when you've released, and I've got other questions if we still got time.
I'm proud to say that this past February, I actually sat for the law school admission test. It took a lot of doing, but they allowed me to take it here at the prison. And I got my scores back. I did well, 94th percentile, so I was very excited. The hardest test I've ever taken in my life. But I'm really hoping to go to law school when I get out. I don't know if the big players, you know, like Yale, Harvard, would have anything to do with someone who has a criminal record. But I have faith that there's someone out there who's going to say yes and let me try to make a difference with a law degree.
Cool. And you've accomplished so much from prison, and it almost makes people think like, oh, actually, some people say, like, oh, prisoners get so much. I mean, I don't know who really thinks that, but people do. But how atypical is your story going to college and becoming an author and getting many different certifications? How atypical is that, and what's the common experience?
And I think that I had to reinvent a lot of things, and I was blessed with a lot of support from my family and from my friends. Without the support of my family and my friends, virtually none of this would be possible. The typical prisoner Let's use my cellie as an example. I'm sure he'll love that. He watches 12 hours of TV a day. Or, you know, some other friends, they're on their recreation yard, you know, 12 hours a day. You know, people don't, in prison, they don't tend to do good things. And that's because they don't have a lot of opportunities. I mean, you can earn a GED, but if you already have a GED, what are the options? Well, without money, not a lot. So I think in terms of my situation, I've been blessed with some, you know, emotional and financial support from family and friends. But if I didn't have that, I think a lot of this would have been much, much more challenging. But, you know, if there's a will, there's a way. I mean, you say I've done a lot of stuff. I agree with you. But keep in mind, this has been over the last decade. The first 5 years, I first had to figure out, how do you live in prison? And then I had to, after I got the foundation together, then it was, well, how do I strive for more? And that's not an easy thing to learn, especially from, like, the confines of prisons.
Yeah. How could people get in touch with you if they want to? Would you like to mention any, is there anything else you'd like to mention? Perhaps your previous books or anything else that you're working on? Probably
sure.
Don't have a lot of time left.
You can go to prisonerresource.com, and that is our latest site dedicated to the Bureau of Prisons. We focus on all sorts of prison life and issues. And from there, you can contact my external team that can reach me.
Okay. So that's prisonerresource.com.
Prisonerresource.com.
Great. Anything else you want to share? We've got probably just a few more seconds.
I really appreciate you having me. I love the Prison Pipeline program. Very cool. And I'm excited just to contribute.
Thank you very much for joining me, and we'll probably get cut off in a few seconds.
Cool. But all right. Well, I will talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.
You have been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I'd like to thank my guest, Christopher Zoukas. You can reach him by emailing info@prisonerresource.com or by mail. His name is spelled Christopher, and his last name is spelled Zoukis. His address is FCI Petersburg, P.O. Box 1000, number 22132-058. Petersburg, Virginia, Petersburg. The zip is 23804. His website is ChristopherZoukas.com, where you can read more about his books, including The Prison Education Guide, a guide to currently available correspondence programs which prisoners can take. On his website, you can also find links to purchase his books on Amazon.com. Thank you to our engineer, Danielle Parks. Good night.
After an investigation of the treatment of prisoners at the Oregon State Penitentiary, the Oregon Department of Corrections agreed to improve conditions. Yet, 1 year later, prisoners with serious mental illness continue to be held in solitary confinement. Join us on Prison Pipeline, June 5th, to hear the Disability Rights Oregon report, Behind the 11th Door, 1 year later. That's Prison Pipeline, June 5th at 6:30 p.m.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that
you are about to cross the border.
And then follow the footsteps to a two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound. Where will you be on Mondays at 8 when the door slams shut? Here on KBOO Portland.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it is Hard Knock Radio, so stay tuned.
And this is Hard Knock Radio.
This is Bobby Seale here. I'm the former chairman, founder, and the old national organizer of the Black Panther Party. The Black Panther Party is a political revolutionary organization out of the 1960s. This is Hard Knock Radio. I love Hard Knock Radio. Coming here and listening to this framework here, it's what's happening. You got to be tuned in. And I want all people who dig Hard Knock to understand that you can do some Hard Knock work out there in the community, Jim.
On the move, this is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio, the station of resistance. Down with this rotten-ass system. Stay tuned to Hard Knock Radio.
They was talking in the cabin. They was talking in the hall, but she listened kind of careless. Not a thinking about it all. And on Sunday, too, she noticed. They was whispering mighty much standing all along the roadside when they let her out of church. But she didn't think about it. Twill the middle of the week, when her liars come to see her and somehow he couldn't speak. Then she seed all in a minute what he'd come to see her for. They had listed colored soldiers, and her lies was going to war.